How many times have you heard this line? You're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts. But how do we determine the facts? In science, the gold standard is peer-reviewed scientific papers published in a reputable scientific journal. The scientist has to have the evidence, and the evidence must stand up to a critical review by other scientists. That is the goal. Of course, sometimes papers are retracted because of an error. Embarrassing, but everyone makes mistakes. However, a new report says error is not the leading cause of scientific paper retractions. Scientific papers are being withdrawn due to fraud or suspected fraud, plagiarism, and self-plagiarism. It's a new study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And what it did was analyze 2,047 retracted papers in the biomedical and life sciences. Joining me in the studio is Dr. Farrukh Fong, a professor at the University of Washington School of Medicine and one of the authors. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So give me an example of the kind of misconduct that got you interested in this as a researcher.
So in addition to being a researcher, I work as an editor. And I was contacted out of the blue one day by the dean of a medical school. One of his faculty members, who's a professor who studies cancer biology, turned out to have manipulated data in more than 30 papers, including some papers in my own journal. So we had to investigate the allegations, and unfortunately, we confirmed that they were accurate, and we had to retract those papers. And in the process, I was surprised by how the fraudulent data had sat in the literature for many years. There's a kind of a saying that science is self-correcting. But I realized that that's a very imperfect process, that papers could sit there and people could use the information, and unless they really comb over it looking for misconduct, they may easily overlook it and consider the data to be valid.
Now, I had assumed that all this data was vetted before it went into publication. How were you finding out that there's incorrect data or plagiarized data after the fact?
So peer review is actually a very effective process, and it's served science well for a long time, but it's not perfect. And peer reviewers typically aren't looking at a paper to see if there's something dishonest in it. They're trying to see if actually the scientific conclusion is justified by the data that are provided.
Is it internally consistent? What might be a way of summarizing it?
Yes, that's a good way to put it. And so I think that what happens is after a paper is peer reviewed and revised and considered to be suitable for publication, there's this stage where it's used by people in the field, and there's a second layer, if you will, of more informal review. And sometimes people will disagree with results that are published in the literature, and that's part of normal science. And they may argue by publishing their own paper where they argue against that. But scientists are human, and as you said, they make mistakes. So there's a mechanism. If there's a very serious mistake, or if it turns out there was dishonesty in the way the study was done, then the paper can be withdrawn by either the authors themselves or by the journal, and that's retraction.
Is it a career killer for a scientist who publishes a paper that is later found out to have been plagiarized or just used faulty information, false information?
Not necessarily. Certainly, there's no shame in committing mistakes. Every scientist makes mistakes, and it's actually an honorable thing to recognize a mistake and withdraw the information. There are Nobel laureates who have withdrawn papers. There are many, many prominent scientists who have been in a position where they had to say in further reflection, we've decided that this paper is not valid and should be withdrawn. Dishonesty is also complicated because you may be a very honest scientist and have someone in your lab who feels pressure to produce a certain result, and later you might find out about it and you have to withdraw that paper. So it's definitely not necessarily a career killer. But I think if you've conducted dishonest research in a systematic way over a period of time, it becomes harder for people to believe you, and science is based on trust. And so when you submit other papers to a journal and you have a long track record of producing dishonest research, but you say, I really mean it this time, it's hard for people to take that at face value.
Well, you might think that self-policing would lead to a reduction in this. Your study suggests a tenfold increase in papers being retracted for fraud or plagiarism since 1975. So is there more fraud, or is it just being rooted out more systematically?
Well, I would suggest that it's probably both. I think journals are more sensitive to withdrawing problematic papers, and I think readers are more sensitive to looking for potential problems. So there probably is a component of more detection. But I don't think we were missing 90% of the misconduct back in 1975 and that it's still sitting there in the literature. I think it's very likely that misconduct is more common. And people have conducted anonymous surveys of scientists where they say that they've seen dishonest or biased behavior on the part of other scientists at a fairly frequent level. Not the majority of scientists by any means, but enough that it really seems that misconduct is more common. And I look upon this a little bit like you would look upon crime in regular society. I think that there's a role for detection and policing, and I think there's a role for enforcement and penalties for people found to commit misconduct. But beyond that, I think you have to look at the setting in which the misconduct is happening and look at the pressures and incentives to be dishonest and whether or not there are things that could be corrected in the way that the scientific enterprise is set up. And right now, I would have to say, if you talk to any random scientist on the street, they would probably tell you they're under tremendous pressure to publish consistently. They're concerned about finding jobs for their trainees because there's so few openings. Grant funding success rates are at historic lows, and you're always hunting for money. And these pressures, I think, create very powerful incentives for people. And unfortunately, in a few cases, they succumb to those pressures.
Well, that raises a very interesting question. Can you lower the pressure that incentivizes getting something in there, even if it's wrong or plagiarized? Or do you just have to make the punishment for doing that so tough that no one would do it because it would ruin their career?
Well, I think there are cases where the behavior might be irrational. But in most cases, I think that scientists are rational agents, and they're engaging in a cost-benefit or a risk-benefit analysis on a personal level. So I think that both approaches could be effective, probably in combination. I don't think we're going to get anywhere if we continue putting scientists through a pressure cooker and expecting that occasional people aren't going to succumb to that and commit a dishonest act. At the same time, I do believe in strict consequences for people who commit misconduct, particularly there are some egregious examples recently involving research of a medical nature where patients are actually getting incorrect care based on things in the literature that turned out to be fraudulent. And I think this is the worst kind of offense. It's hard to believe that it actually happens. But there are clear-cut examples where people have engaged in misleading or dishonest research that's led to other clinicians innocently reading those papers and doing the wrong things for patients. And so I do think the penalties for that have to be very serious.
Dr. Ferick Fong, a professor at the University of Washington School of Medicine, his study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences concluded that suspected fraud and plagiarism are major causes of papers being retracted and withdrawn from scientific journals. Ideally, the information being out there that you've uncovered will help to improve the situation. Thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.